present I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, the antidote to panel games. At the piano is Colin Sell, and your chairman is Jack D.
Hello and welcome to I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue. You join us this week in historic Richmond. Proud to be the state capital of Virginia, the fifth largest producer of tobacco in the United States, the other Richmond is 3,000 miles away. Richmond's most famous tourist attraction is Hampton Court Palace. In 1527, a summit was arranged to increase the bond of friendship between Henry VIII and Francis I following the Anglo-French Treaty of 1514. The French king arrived by barge and the two exchanged gifts. Henry was given a suit of armour, which he declared performed perfectly, and Francis was presented with Henry's prized jousting horse, which he later said went very well with Béarnaise sauce and a side salad. Originally built for Thomas Wolsey in 1515, Hampton Court later passed to Henry VIII, who refurbished and expanded the palace before it was reopened amid great celebration on New Year's Eve in 1534. A grand bonfire was lit, and the people of Richmond gathered at the gates, hoping to glimpse Henry's magnificent Hampton Court in the firelight. With King James I, Hampton Court became known for its apple orchard, the orangery, the maize, and in 1607, the vegetable plot, when Catholic anarchists tried to blow the palace up with 36 barrels of sprouts. Richmond Post Office is a fine Victorian heritage-listed building in Windsor Street. It originally had 20 counters, but now they only generally use four, except at really busy times when they use one. The engineer who designed the classic Range Rover lived here. He passed away last year, having collapsed outside Waitrose, diagonally across two parking bays. But he's surely not the last here to die awkwardly in public. Let's meet the teams. They are on my left, Barry Cryer and Graham Garden. And on my right, Timbrook Taylor and Sandy Toksvig. And taking her place at the desk next to me to enjoy an evening of scoring, please welcome the ever delightful Samantha. Well, we start this week with a round called Sponsored Songs. It's a shocking indictment of modern celebrities that they all have their price. Indeed, all it took was several million dollars and a trip to the deed poll office for one of the world's best actresses to become Reese Witherspoon's. And for an undisclosed fee, stalwart Hollywood tough guy Vin Diesel was happy to lend his name to Lidl's own house wine. So, in this round, teams, I'd like you, please, to suggest the titles of songs that have clearly benefited from commercial sponsorship. Barry, you can start.
Spam Enchanted Evening.
Tim.
Can you hear the drums, Fernando's?
Graham.
Febreze, a jolly good fellow.
Sandy.
Love Me Tinder.
For those in Persil on the sea.
I did it Subway.
Let it be.
Sill it, bang, bang.
As the way I like it.
Corn in the USA.
Baby, you can drive my car. BP, BP, yeah.
Kinky Boots, the chemist.
Time for a musical round now as I ask the teams to sing one song to the tune of another. 2010, the International Primate Protection League used a re-release of the Goody single, The Funky Gibbon, to fund its endangered species breeding program. Sadly, the campaign wasn't a success, and there are currently no breeding pairs of goodies left in captivity. What a horrible image that's left in my mind. Providing piano accompaniment for this round, we have Colin Sell. Colin's piano playing has even been used by advertisers. Indeed, his version of the Goldberg Variations by Bach in a recent TV commercial saw product sales rocket, which delighted the client, the Acme Piano Lid Lock Company. OK, we'll start with you, Tim, and I'd like you to sing the words of the Hokey Cokey to the tune of the chorus of the Hebrew Slaves, Verdi's Nabucco.
You put your left arm in, your left arm out, in, out, in, out. You shake it all about. You do the hokey-cokey and you turn around. That's what it's all about. Whoa-ho, the hokey-cokey. Whoa-ho, the hokey-cokey. Whoa-ho, the hokey-cokey. Knees bent, arms stretched, rah-rah. You put your right arm in, your right arm out. In, out, in, out. You shake it all about. You do the hokey, hokey.
Thank you, Tim. Well, you now, Barry, and I'd like you to sing the words of the Marrow Song to the tune of I Whistle a Happy Tune.
Down the road there lives a man, I'd like you all to know. He grew a great big marrow for the local flower show. And when the story got around, they came from far and wide. And when the people saw the marrow, everybody cried. Oh, what a beauty, I've never seen one as big as that before. Oh, what a beauty, it must be 2 feet long or even more. It's such a lovely colour and nice and round and fat. I never thought a marrow could grow as big as that. What a beauty!
Your turn now, Sandy, and I'd like you to sing the words of Madonna's Hanky Panky to the tune of Somewhere Over the Rainbow.
Some girls, they like candy, others like to grind. I'll settle for the back of your hand, somewhere on my treat me like I'm a bad girl, even when I'm being good to you. I don't want you to thank me, you can just spank me. Some guys like to sweet talk and others they like to tease, tie my hands behind my back. And ooh, I'm in ecstasy, don't slobber me with kisses I can get but from my sisters. Before I get too cranky, you better like hanky-panky. Nothing like a good spanky. Don't take out your handkerchief.
Finally, Graham. Finally, Graham, I'd like you to sing the words of There's No One Quite Like Grandma, yeah, to the tune of Charles Aznavour's She.
Grandma,
Grandma, we love you, Grandma, we do. Though you may be far away, we think of you, there's no one quite like Grandma. And I know you will agree that she always is a friend to you, and she's a friend to me. There's no one quite like Grandma. She is there in times of need, before it's bedtime on her knee. To us a book she'll read, Grandma, we love you. Grandma, we do, though you may be far away, we think of you, and one day when we're older we'll look back and say there's no one quite like Grandma.
Graham, I was teleported back to one of those old-fashioned cocktail bars, you know, like the one in Shining. Well, the next round of Word for Word is all about making connections between words. Amazingly, anthropologists have discovered tribes in the Amazon which have no word for time, just like the landlord in Barry's Dream Pub. OK, I'd like you to start exchanging completely unconnected words, Tim and Sandy. And Barry and Graham, your job is to try to spot a connection. And if I uphold the challenge, I'll ask you to take over the task and so on. So off you go, please, Tim and Sandy.
Cucumber.
Beagle.
Toboggan.
Tupperware.
Marzipan.
Crystal.
Election.
Scrumptious.
Florentine.
Gobbledygook.
Poker.
Serendipity.
Humbug.
Winkle picker.
Crosspatch.
Grommet.
Graham.
Yes, Wallace is always a bit of a crosspatch, and Grommet doesn't like it.
Oh, well, that's very good. That's very good. I mean, I would totally give them that.
Yeah. You're actually meant to defend yourself at some point. You actually want to win.
Sorry. English is my second language. I was worried I was going to run out.
So well spotted, Graham. It's over to you, Graham and Barry.
Really?
Mm, yeah.
That was my word. Oh.
Yeah, Tim.
Hesitation.
Fastidious. Abacus. German. Ballistic.
Sandy.
It was a German, Werner von Braun, who invented the whole concept of being ballistic.
Mm. On his abacus.
Yeah, I think that's true.
Sandy quite rightly noted the challenge there. I was wondering if anyone was going to notice that. But so back to you, Sandy and Tim.
Fantasy.
Mucus. Oh.
Barry straight in with a challenge there on fantasy mucus.
Yeah. Well, mucus fantasy was a big hit song way back in the 60s.
Is that right?
I can't remember the band who did it.
How did it go?
Mucus fantasy, yes.
How did it go, do you remember?
Yes. I had this mucus fantasy. Running down on me.
So thank you. No, so back to Barry and Graham.
Geriatric.
And that gong means that I've just invented a new way of ending that round. Well, the next game is called The Symptoms, and in this round, the teams will assume the role of doctors and patients suffering from an obscure medical condition, and so you can be our first patients, Tim and Sandy. The identity of your mystery medical condition is now being displayed to the audience via the laser display screen, while here is the mystery voice for listeners at home.
Tim and Sandy think they're the three wise men. Tim and Sandy think they're the three wise men.
So it's time for your appointment, Tim and Sandy. You must outline your symptoms to Doctors Barry and Graham, and they'll be awarded points based on how accurately they're able to diagnose your condition. So off you go, please.
Come in.
Thank you so much.
Sit down if you can.
Thank you. It's good of you to see us.
Well, for a start, our friend here has lost his voice.
So we too will have to speak for him.
We're all addicted to TripAdvisor.
Yeah, but we only ever go to places that have just one star.
Yeah.
We booked a place some years ago and completely filled it. They were turning people away, what with it being that busy time of year that didn't have a name yet.
Yeah. That's right. Lovely place it was. Very nice donkey ride.
Oh, yeah, that was nice, yeah. Yeah. I used to panic about these trips, but now I'm a stable person.
Yeah. Somewhere else we like to visit is Brisbane Road in Leighton.
Yeah.
Footballers will understand that.
Yeah, I've no idea what that means. we're booking again, aren't we?
Oh, yes, we will.
Yeah, yeah, I think next time we might go Virgin Holidays.
Yeah. So that's basically it.
Yeah, but there's only two of you.
I think their friend is hiding behind that camel.
He's got the
You probably think you're magi and three wise men.
We do, yeah.
Very good. Your turn to be the patients, Barry and Graham, and you've just been summoned into the surgery of Doctors Tim and Sandy. And the identity of your mystery medical condition will now be displayed to the audience, while here again is the mystery voice for listeners at home.
Barry and Graham think they're in a pantomime. Barry and Graham think they're in a pantomime.
So off you go, Barry and Graham.
Come in. Do come
thank you.
Hello. Hello. Yes,
no, don't touch us. Just sit. Yeah.
Well, it's always this time of year.
Oh, God, a bit weird in the winter.
Very weird, yeah. I mean, this time last year, I was dressed up as a woman.
I tried that too, yeah. But I had trouble with buttons.
Yes, yeah. But I don't feel right. I mean, this morning I felt grumpy.
Really? I felt happy.
Yeah. Five to go. I mean, I'm worried about my career.
It's behind you.
Yeah, we had an awful lot of booze last night.
Oh, deafening.
Yeah. you can help us, can't you, Doc?
Oh, no, you can't.
You think you're in a pantomime.
Yeah.
Well, this next game is called What's the Question? And it's all about questions. Tim's grandfather was notorious for asking difficult questions. It was he who repeatedly questioned the seaworthiness of the Titanic, even before it had begun its maiden voyage. And when no one listened, he just asked louder. In fact, he asked so loudly, he was eventually asked to leave the cinema. OK, I'll provide the answers to various questions and I'll ask the teams to suggest what they think the original question would have been. OK, so the first one's for you, Barry. Here's the answer. What's the question? Poppycock.
What do you call a streaker on November the 11th?
Good. Poppycock was actually which English word derives from the Dutch word meaning soft feces?
Oh, yeah.
Poppycock. Easier to spell than diarrhea. Tim, here's the answer. What's the question? The answer is clatterfart, nimble chops and blabberer.
Name three political party leaders.
It's actually can you list three words meaning chatterbox, right? One for you here, Sandy. The answer is contraceptives hidden in Nutella.
Is there an alternative to squirrel culling?
Well, do you know, Sandy, in fact, the real question was, how does Prince Charles want to reduce the grey squirrel population?
Oh,
answer is contraceptives in Nutella. Right.
The man is a genius.
Yes. I would have thought it would just make it incredibly chewy. Finally, Graham. Here's the answer. What's the question? £32 million of Viagra per annum.
What's the cost of the upkeep of Nelson's Column?
It's actually, how much does the US military spend each year on Viagra? £30 million. Okay, here are some answers for any of you to have a go at. This is the answer. A sperm donor.
What is the most popular whale kebab?
In fact, the question was... The question was, what can't a redhead be in Denmark? Yes. Sperm donor, did you...
We have very strict rules about it.
Here's another answer, like the question. With a chicken.
How do you make roast chicken?
It's actually, how were rich Danes buried in the first century?
Mm. With a chicken.
Mm. Yeah, yeah, not the redheads, right? No.
Here's another answer. It rotates clockwise.
You say you have an unusual penis.
What's unusual about that?
In fact, the question was, what does Venus do that no other planet does? That's it, rotates clockwise. Good. And finally, 420 mime artists.
What is 420 times more annoying than a mime artist?
The actual question was, what did the mayor of Bogota use to shame traffic violators into driving better? Well, it's very nearly the end of the show, but there is just time to fit in a quick round of duck quotes. Fascinating and beloved creature, the duck can live for 5 to 10 years in the wild, 8 years in captivity, and about 45 minutes in Chinatown. As you'd expect of this game, our panellists have been paired with 4 variously talented performing ducks. So at my command, each panellist will encourage their duck to perform a popular quotation uttered by a well-known person. And opposing panellists will score points if they're able to identify either the quotation or the person who uttered it. Okay, so Tim, you're to start, please, and the name of the person who uttered your duck's quote will shortly be displayed to the audience via the laser display screen. And here is the mystery voice for listeners at home.
Winston Churchill. Winston Churchill.
All right, Tim, so will you encourage your duck to deliver its quotation now, please?
Is it a bit of classical work?
Not classical, but it's not.
Is it a famous speech?
Yes.
Is it Winston Churchill?
Extraordinary. How did you get that, Barry?
I don't know.
No. I mean, I didn't get it, and I got it written in front of me. All right. Okay, your turn, Sandy. And
yes.
The author of your duck's quote will now be displayed to the audience. And here again is the mystery voice for listeners at home.
Julie Andrews. Julie Andrews.
Here we go.
There you are. It's punching Julie, isn't
it? Is that a song?
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
It's a song, is it?
That was just an observation.
Dear.
I think you've got us beaten here.
Yes, you have. Sandy?
Yeah, it's a famous quote by Julie Andrews. It's high on a hill was a lonely goat herd.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, that's kind.
Yeah.
Mm. it's your turn now, Barry.
Oh.
And the name of the person responsible for your duck's quote will now be displayed via the laser display board, and here again is the mystery voice for listeners at home.
Bruce Forsyth. Bruce Forsyth.
This is a legend that spans the generations, this.
Nice to see you. To see you guys.
Got it. Bruce Forsyth, of course. And finally, Graham, on the laser display board now, is the name of the person responsible for your duck's quote. Here again is the mystery voice for listeners at home.
Neil Armstrong. Neil Armstrong.
So, Graham, if you would coax your duck into providing the quotation, please.
Is it Neil Armstrong?
Okay, any of your ducks have any further quotes they'd like to share with us?
I'm no good, I'll try again.
I can see trouble ahead.
Yes, so can I, but that's not what I'm
doing. Okay, I think I think you might have to help us out.
It was Arnold Schwarzenegger, it was Hasta...
Is it sport?
Hasta la vista, baby.
Hasta la vista, baby. Mm.
When you've got the answer, you can stop guessing.
Yes. Have you changed your batteries, Baz?
You asked me that last night, didn't you?
Sadly, the answer was no.
But you're still charged.
So, ladies and gentlemen, as the troublesome travellers of time are forcibly evicted from the village green of gentility before group purchasing the unprepossessing plot of posterity and collapsing the provincial house prices of happiness, I notice it's very nearly the end of the show. So from the team, Samantha, myself and our audience here in Richmond, it's goodbye. Goodbye.
Barry Cryer, Graham Garden, Timbrook Taylor and Sandy Toksvig will be given silly things to do by Jack D, with Colin Sell setting some of them to music. The programme consultants were Ian Pattinson and Fraser Steele, and the producer was John Naismith.